John 14, verse 27. Jesus had concluded the Last Supper with a passage, a scripture we read in John 14, 15, and 16. And in this passage of scripture, he is encouraging his disciples. He gives them the promise that there's going to be a mansion in heaven. We shared that verse yesterday, as we do many times at funerals, that Jesus promised that he would go away, but would come back. He would come back and receive them unto himself, and that he would prepare mansions for them. He promised them the Holy Spirit would come and comfort them. But two verses that I want you to look at today that Jesus mentioned or told his disciples, that he gave them a great promise that they would have. And it's a promise that you and I have also. Look at John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Look down in chapter 16, over in chapter 16, verse 33. Chapter 16, verse 33. He concludes the... turn me down just a pinch. I'm getting a little bit of an echo. Could you turn me down a pinch there? All right, in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Notice in verse chapter 14, verse 27, and in verse 33 of chapter 16, Jesus says, but in both cases, that I want to leave you peace. I want to give you peace. He said, I don't want you to live a life of turmoil and worry and fear and discouragement. He said, I want you to live every day a peaceful life. And that's the life that Jesus calls us to live. And so today I want to bring you a message from that passage in which Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've shared this word. In reading the scripture, now we'll study it out a little bit more, and I pray that as we do and give more verses and give some biblical principles, that each and every one of us will find that sometime elusive peace that we need to have. And we just thank you, Lord, that Lord Jesus, you want us to live a peaceful life. Help us to do it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus came to the earth, and when he came to the earth, he said that he would bring division. In fact, he said sometimes, maybe spouse would rise against spouse, or father against child, child against father. And Jesus didn't want to bring division, but what he meant is because of the message of the gospel, some would believe and some would reject. Some would follow Jesus and some others would not follow Jesus. And so when Jesus came, he didn't come and everybody, you know, circle around him and say, "Yes, we're going to follow you." In fact, at the end of Jesus' ministry, he had many people that rejected him. He came unto his own received him not. And so the ministry of Jesus was not one of necessarily peace and harmony, but many times one of division, one of choosing, will you follow Jesus or not? Now, with that in mind, his goal is desirous for us, though, to have peace. He warned his disciples, if you're going to follow me, you're going to go into a world that will not like you and accept you because they've already rejected me. And just as they've rejected me, they're going to reject you also. And so I'm not sending you into a good situation. I'm sending you into a place filled with tribulation, filled with problems and turmoil. But he says, the bottom line is, I still want you to have peace. I want you to have peace. How can you have peace in the world we live in? How can you have peace through uncertainties? How can you have peace when people are stressed out and worried and fearful and having issues with life and worried about their health and worried about their jobs and worried about the economy and worried about their kids and worried about their families? And truth is that it's difficult sometimes, many times, to have peace in this world. But yet the great promise that he said was that I give you my peace. Now he said, not like the world gives you. See, the world gives you peace by saying, well, go out and have a party and get drunk or get high and you'll have peace. The world's idea of peace is escape. Watch movies and watch sports and just escape life, and that's how you'll find peace. But Jesus, I didn't come to give you peace the way the world came to give you peace, because their peace is fleeting. Their peace will never last. And so the peace that I give you will be real and will sustain you and will help you and will be there every single day. You know, we did a wonderful funeral for Joan Hosier yesterday. Her family's here today and some traveling back today. And certainly we pray that God would protect you and watch over you. But yet, as I talked to many of them and Brother Bill and asked him how he was doing, I sensed a peace. I sensed a peace that passeth all understanding. And I've said goodbye to loved ones. I've said goodbye to my father and other loved ones and many loved ones in our church here that have gone on. And yet God gives us a peace. And we thank God that it's not like the world gives. It's like the Lord gives. Why is that? Because Jesus promised, I leave you my peace. I'm going to leave you peace. Now, as we look at the Word of God today, we realize and understand that peace doesn't always come just because we say, well, we're going to have peace and God promised the peace. There's certain things we must do to pursue after peace, and God will give us peace. Do you know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, one of the ways in which Israel was to be blessed is that the priest would get up and he would pronounce a blessing of peace upon the people. In fact, if you go to, we've gone to Messianic synagogues where believers in Christ but have Jewish background meet together, and they seem to always give this passage of Scripture out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Give thee peace. And so in Israel's day, the priest would stand up and say, folks, God wants you to have peace. And then again in the New Testament days, and Jesus rises up, our great high priest, and he says, folks, I want you to have peace. Do you get the idea that God wants us to live a peaceful life? You know, Christians ought to be the most peaceful people in the world. Doesn't mean we don't have problems. Doesn't mean we don't say goodbye to loved ones. Doesn't mean we don't lose our jobs sometimes. Doesn't mean we don't have financial problems. Doesn't mean at times that we have stress and strain and issues that sometimes wear away at us. But yet Jesus says, I'm going to leave you peace. I want you to live a peaceful life. The word peace in Hebrew, shalom, means completeness, wholeness, blessings on our life. It means that we're not lacking anything, that we have everything, that there's a completeness about our life and a wholeness in our life. You know, whenever, if you ever go out to cemeteries and look at the gravestones, sometimes you'll see RIP or rest in peace. And people will put that maybe as their final wish for their loved one, that they rest in peace. And if you think about it, when we die and go to heaven, isn't heaven all about peace? No sickness, that's peaceful, isn't it? No suffering, that's peaceful, isn't it? No pain, that's peaceful, isn't it? No tears, no death, no sorrow, nothing. Isn't that peaceful? And so what Jesus is saying is that how it's going to be in heaven, that's how I want you to have it now here on earth. And I want you to have peace. Don't wait till you get to heaven to have peace. Some people say, I'm just holding on and someday I'm going on to have my time of peace. Well, Jesus said, your time of peace is right now. Jesus said, you don't have to wait till you die to rest in peace. You can live every day in peace. Now, let me share with you a couple points today, and there'll be some things, some outlines, some points up on the screens for you so you can remember a little bit better. But let me tell you a couple things about peace. Number one, where does peace start? Peace starts with a right relationship with God. It starts with a right relationship with God. You don't have peace if you're not right with God. Now, ultimately, your peace comes through your salvation. If you've been saved, you understand what peace is all about. You have the peace with God. You're no longer an enemy with God, at enmity with God. But when you receive Christ as Savior, now you and God are at one again. The atonement, that's what atonement means. At one with God. And so today, if you're not saved, by the term being unsaved, I mean that you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven. You're not really sure if you die, if you're going to go to heaven or not, and you don't have the assurance of your salvation. Or maybe you're trusting in all the wrong things. You're trusting in your good works, going to church, being good to people, things of that nature. Listen, you need to understand something today, that your peace doesn't come until you have peace with God and your sins are completely forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And it was Jesus that died on the cross. Jesus had paid the sin debt. Jesus rose again triumphantly. And the only way that God can bring you, provide you peace is through salvation. And so today, if you're saved, you have peace. I remember the day I got saved. Do you remember the day you got saved? I remember the day I got saved. I was in a church out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was there at a Sunday night, and I've shared a testimony with you before, but I came at the end of the service, and I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, but thank you for saving me. I confess my sins as a sinner, and I want to be saved, and I asked Jesus to save me. And you know, when I got up off my knees that day at church, for the first time, I had a peace that I couldn't explain. You know, I liken it to if you've ever read or seen Pilgrim's Progress. You know, when Pilgrim has this big burden on his back and he comes to the foot of the cross, what happens? It rolls off and rolls down a hill. And that's how I felt, like there was a peace that God had given me. And maybe you say, Pastor, I've never experienced that peace. Maybe you've never experienced it because you've never experienced being born again through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved today, that doesn't mean you're sinless, does it? It means ultimately your sins are forgiven, but we still have to deal with sin every day, don't we? We still have temptations. We still have the old flesh. We still have, at times, yield to the flesh. And so we understand that even though you're saved does not mean that you walk every day the perfect walk that God calls you to walk. Now, with that in mind, you need to understand something, that if you're not right with God in your day-to-day walk, then God doesn't allow you to have peace in your soul. Do you understand that? In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But you know, the Holy Spirit kind of has this dual role. Not only is He a Comforter, but He's a Convictor. And He comforts you and strengthens you, but He also convicts you when we do wrong. And if you ever have that gnawing sense, we call it sometimes, the world calls it a guilty conscience, and we have this gnawing at us, and we know something's not right. It's because the Holy Spirit is pricking our heart and telling us, listen, you're not right with God. You're not right with the Father. There's sin in your life. There's some things going on that is not acceptable in the sight of God. And so there's maybe turmoil in our life, and we don't have that perfect peace because we're not right with God. So what's the solution? It's very simple. Get right with God. Get right with God. Do you remember Adam and Eve were walking in the garden every day with God by the cool of the day, and they talked with God? Man, what a wonderful relationship that was. But what messed up that little walk in the garden? When Eve sinned, then Adam sinned. And all of a sudden now, instead of walking with God, what are they doing? They're hiding from God. And what happens is that when we get sin in between us and God, instead of walking with God, you know what we want to do? We want to hide from God. Who wants to go talk to God and fellowship with God when you know that you're not right with God? When Cain killed Abel, all of a sudden now, what's he doing? He's running from God. And from the very first people that God ever created, all the way down 6,000 years later, we understand and realize that when we sin and we don't confess our sins and we don't get our heart right with God, there's not going to be this peace in our hearts. There's going to be turmoil. And so it's peace that must come as we get right with God. A couple of thoughts. Number one under that is there must be a confession of sin. There must be a confession of sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, just confess it. You know, back in the day when the church back in the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages confused people and people thought they had to crawl up and down steps to get forgiveness of sins and confess their sins to a man. And Martin Luther, for example, the great reformer, Martin Luther thought that he had to crawl up and down the steps to try to get right with God. On his knees, he's crawling one step after the next, punishing himself, thinking this is the way to forgiveness, this is the way to peace. And yet God showed him one day that the just shall live by faith. And he realized, I don't have to crawl up and down steps all the time or hit myself or cause some pain, self-infliction of pain. He said, I need to just trust by faith that the Lord can forgive me of my sins. And God said, if you just confess your sins. But you know, sometimes it's hard to confess, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to admit to God. What do? We ignore sins. We justify sins. We rationalize our sins. We think it's not that bad. We sin so many times, sometimes we forget about it. We become numb to the whole process. And what we have to understand is we must confess our sins. Now, secondly, don't cover up your sin. Do you want peace in your soul? Don't cover up your sins then. You see, when we confess sins before God, it's a way of cleansing. It's a way of finding the pathway to peace. But the more that we hold sins in and cover them up, look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Notice, if you cover your sin, what happens? You don't prosper. You think God's going to give you peace? You know, for 1 year, David, after he committed a terrible sin with Bathsheba, then had her husband killed, and basically, was responsible for the death of a very good soldier in his army. For 1 year, he didn't confess his sins. For 1 year, he was outside the will of God. For about nine months, because it was right when the baby was born, is that when he finally got right with God. He covered up and he ignored, and he didn't prosper, and he didn't have peace. But the Word of God says, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall find peace. And then thirdly, search your heart. Ask God to be searched. Ask God to search you. You know, this is hard sometimes. Have you ever asked somebody, tell me the truth, what do you think about me? That's pretty bold, isn't it? Because you run the risk they may tell you the truth. And you may run the risk of them telling you some things you don't want to hear. You know? It's kind of like you ladies. How do you like my new outfit? And the guy goes, good, fine, I guess. That's nice. What do you want me to tell you? You know, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes when you ask somebody, do you have any problem with me? Is there anything I've done to offend you? And all of a sudden they tell you why you've offended them, and you had no idea. You see, sometimes we sin and we don't realize it. We don't understand it. We don't know. You know, I call it spiritual blind spots. We can't really see these things in our life. You know, you may be filled with pride and everybody else can see it except you. You may be filled with covetousness or greed or materialism and everybody else can see it by your actions and how you talk, but you can't see it. It's a spiritual blind spot. You may be filled with lust. You may be filled with other sins and you don't see it. You don't recognize it, but yet it is evidence. And maybe it's not evident to other people, but it's evident to God. And so Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's a pretty bold prayer to say, Lord, check me out and show me everything that's inside me. You know, it's kind of like when you go to the doctors and you get a physical and they run all kind of tests. They want to find out if anything is wrong with you at all. And this is what God's saying. They cry out to God, search me, O God. Show me, try me. Show me if there's anything wrong. Because the path to peace means that I got to be right with you, Lord. And if there's some area in my life that's not right with you, Lord, I need to know what it is. And I guarantee you, if you'll pray that and ask God to search you, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, if there's some things wrong, will begin to reveal things. And as God reveals it, then you have to deal with it. You know, David wasn't right with God. And David had sinned against God, and yet he went about his life just like nothing was wrong. And one day, Nathan the prophet came by and told him a little story. And at the end of the story, David was convicted that he had sinned against an almighty righteous God. After his repentance, he wrote Psalm 51. And Psalm 51, he talked about how that he wanted God to restore him because the sin had stolen his peace away from him. For example, in Psalm 51, verse 8, and I'll just read it a couple of verses. He said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." In verse number 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit." In verse 15, he says, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." David said, "Lord, when I got right with you, guess what? Everything's okay again now. I have, my spirit is renewed, and I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'll praise you and I worship you." Why? Because he had allowed sin to stop his relationship and ultimately harm the peace that was in his life. Number two, not only do you have to be right with God to have peace, but you have to have a right relationship with others. Do you know if you're not right with others, you don't have peace? Maybe I'm talking to somebody today. You have ought in your heart towards somebody. You have unforgiveness. You have hard feelings. Number one, you have to resolve hurt feelings. You have to learn to resolve hurt feelings. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers." Not the people who are gossiping and dividing people. He said, "Blessed are the people that are trying to make peace." Because, you know, God's all about peace. God wants all of us to get together. He didn't create us so that we'd fight and kill each other and gossip about each other and backbite and hurt each other. He created us so that hopefully we could all get along together. Hopefully we could all live peaceably. Yet we have to resolve hurt feelings. You know, last week I gave a message about David and Absalom, and it was kind of interesting because my son preached the same sermon. Actually, I heard he preached it in the morning, so I preached it at nighttime. And, it was kind of interesting as I studied the story out, and I shared some things about David being, Absalom was a disloyal son of David who tried to kill his own father and overthrow his father's kingdom. But, you know, before that, as we study that out some more, we see that Absalom was really somebody that couldn't deal with hurt feelings. His sister had been violated by his brother, and his dad stood by. David did absolutely nothing. And here's his sister that is now, her whole life has been changed, and he brought her to his house and he tried to care for her. And here's his brother that had done that, and his brother did not get punished by his dad. And that hurt Absalom. He realized that my dad didn't do the right thing. My dad, David, did not react properly. And so he takes matters in his own hands and he kills his brother Amnon. And then he flees, and David doesn't even want to talk to him. And for years he's estranged from his father, and finally comes back, and David still doesn't talk to him for a couple more years. Do you see a guy that became bitter? Do you see a guy that became resentful? And what did he do? Instead of trying to get right with his dad and doing the right thing, he rebelled against his father and tried to kill his father. You see, what I'm saying is that if you let unresolved issues go on, it can lead to very bad things. Maybe today I'm talking about to husbands and wives, unresolved issues, and parents to children, unresolved issues, and church member to church member with unresolved issues. Maybe I'm talking today, you have unresolved issues with people you work with or neighbors, and you need to understand something, that is going to create a turmoil and a lack of peace in your life. And so you have to resolve these issues. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, it's kind of interesting. You say, did all the churches, in the early days, of the epistles, they probably all got along just right. Now, get along with each other, right? Wrong. They fought and argued just like we do 2,000 years later. And there were two women in the church Paul had to address. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." He said, "Ladies, quit fussing and fighting. Get along with one another. Resolve your issues. Quit being petty. Whatever the problem is, get it right, because there's not going to be peace in the church because of you two." And so, even Paul and Barnabas, didn't they have a division about what they thought was the right thing to do? Paul said, "I don't want to take John Mark on the next trip." And Barnabas said, "Let's take him." And they argued so much, they said, "We're going our separate ways." You see, even good people can have issues. But they got to be resolved. Now, I think Paul and Barnabas resolved the issue by saying, okay, we're just going to agree to disagree. You go your way, I'll go my way, and we have two missionary teams instead of one. But many times it's not resolved that easily. Secondly, under that, forgive others. Forgive others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it talks about how that we need to let go of bitterness and strife and division. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says this. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so learn to forgive. That means I got to let go of bitterness. But I like bitterness. I like to feel bitter. Who wants to feel bitter? Do you like to drink bitter drinks? Do you like to eat bitter food? So why do we want to be bitter? But we're bitter not because we say, oh, I like to be bitter, but we're bitter because we hold on and won't let go. We won't let go of things. We want to hold on, and it creates a spirit of bitterness, a root of bitterness comes up within us, and it not only affects us, but those around us that our bitterness affects and taints. And so he said, put away bitterness, put away wrath, put away anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, hatred, and replace it with kindness. If you're going to kill somebody, kill them with kindness. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. I never can forgive. No, you pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Okay, then don't forgive, but then don't ask God for peace. Because you know what? Peace and unforgiveness don't go hand in hand. So you got a choice. You drop the one, you'll take the other. And so we must forgive. And then we must seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. We don't have time to look at it today, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said that if you're going to bring a gift to the altar and you remember that a brother has aught against you, don't take the gift to the altar. Go get it right and then come back and offer up your offering. What he's saying is that you can't be right with God when you're right with others, so get it settled. And so, you know, you need to if you've offended people, you need to go to those people. You need to apologize. You need to seek. You say, it's so hard, and I don't like to confront people. Okay, then don't confront people, but then don't ask God for peace. Because you're missing something, you understand? Now, Romans 12, verse 18. You say, it's not always possible to get right with people. That's why Romans 12, 18 says this. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. He said, do your best. You're not going to resolve every issue. You're not going to solve every problem. But do your best. Give it a shot. Try to do what you can to resolve issues. Number three, quickly, we must resist accusations from Satan. Resist accusations from Satan. Do you want to have peace? Guess who's trying to steal your peace? The devil. You think the devil wants you to live happily ever after? He's mad at you. You know why he got mad at you? Because you got saved. Before you didn't get saved, he wasn't mad at you. You know why? Because you were in his camp. But you jumped ship. And you changed camps. And you're saved now. And he's mad at you. And he doesn't want you to live the abundant life. He doesn't want you to have peace. He wants you to live every day as though everything's fine. And so you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to bring turmoil in your life. And one of the things that the devil does, Revelation 12 says that he is the accuser of the brethren. Hey, guess what? When we accuse the brethren, guess who we're like? Well, let's not go there. Anyhow, the accuser of the brethren. That means that, you know what? Somehow, some way, before God, he's accusing us. But not only does he accuse us before God, but he accuses us sometimes subtly. And many times we deal with guilt. We deal with pain. And we deal with memories. And we don't have peace. And we can't seem to resolve issues. And we can't seem to get past things. And we can't seem to have victory. Because the same old nonsense and garbage keeps being brought up and up again. Why is that? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Well, how do you squelch that? Number one, you do that by resisting through rejoicing. Resisting through rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what the devil doesn't want to hear from your lips? Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You're a wonderful God. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing my sins away. I praise you, Lord, for Jesus who died for me on the cross. You see, what you're doing is when you praise God and rejoice in God, it is resisting the devil. And what's the Bible say? When you resist the devil, where does he go? He runs away. He goes after the guy next to you. So you praise God, he's going next guy in the pew right beside you. It's kind of like, you know, termites. You don't get rid of them. They just go next door to somebody else's house. Now, what you have to do is you have to realize that, if I resist the devil through praising and rejoicing, I won't feel guilty, you see. And then secondly, I'm going to remember the blood of Jesus. Remember the blood of Jesus. Devil, you can say what you will, but you know what? I'm under the blood of Jesus. Devil, you can accuse me all you want, but my Bible says that my sins were cast as far as the east is from the west, buried deep beneath the deepest sea, and you can't touch me anymore. I've been forgiven. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to walk in glory someday. So I don't care what you say about me. It doesn't matter because I'm saved. And so you just let the devil know I'm under the blood of Jesus. And I've been covered. And so I'm not going to listen to that anymore. You know, in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says this, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." He's a defeated foe. He's going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's going to rear his ugly head at the end of the millennial age. And Jesus will destroy him by throwing him into the lake of fire. And he will suffer for all eternity. And the smoke will ascend up from the devil. And we know that that's going to be the final outcome of the accuser. So don't let him steal your peace. The last statement I make today is release your anxieties. Release your anxieties. How do you release your anxieties? Wednesday night I gave a message on worry, so I'm not going to really get into this that much. But we release our anxieties through two things, through prayer and thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Release your anxiety. Now you got a choice. You can hold on to everything, or you can give it to God in prayer. You can get yourself worried, worked up, nervous, ulcers, aggravated, stressed out, lose your hair, lose everything. You know, or you can go to God in prayer and cast all your burdens upon Him. He promised that He's the burden bearer. He'll carry them for you. He careth for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you" what? Rest. I'll give you rest, but you got to come to me. And so release your anxiety. Release your anxiety. And then lastly, dwell only on the positive. You want peace? Dwell only on the positive. Some people are wired to think negatively all the time. Everything's bad. Everything's negative. Everything is no good. Do you know God doesn't ask you to think like that? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true." You think about true things. "Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And verse 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You know what? I'm not going to think about a bunch of nonsense because it doesn't give me peace. I'm not going to think about a lot of negative things that I don't know are true. I don't know they're honest. I don't know if they're accurate. They're hearsay. They're assumptions. They're God. I'm not going to think about those things because I want to live a peaceful life. I only got so many years left. I got another birthday coming up. I'll let you know when it is so you can get me cards and presents and everything else. Man, you know, our life is winding down. We don't have time. We don't have time to spend our life thinking about negative things and worried about negative things. And so I got to filter all that nonsense. That's why I like to be around positive people. Positive people love God, talk about the Lord all the time, looking at the brighter side, looking at Jesus who's going to come back someday and right all the wrongs. I'm not saying that we're living in some delusional world, but I'm saying we got to realize you can only think on so many things. So think on the things that will help you out spiritually. Now, folks, Jesus promised you before you left this earth, he said, "I'm going to leave you my peace." How many want that peace today? How many want to live every day a peaceful life? God says, you can do it. We're going to close in a word of prayer in just a moment as we do. I'm going to ask you, how peaceful is your life? How are you doing today? What's in your heart? What's gnawing at you? What's giving you issues and problems? You realize today Jesus doesn't want you to live like that. He told his men before he went to heaven, listen, you're going to have a lot of problems, you're going to have a lot of tribulation, but listen, I'm with you, I'm for you, and I'm going to give you my peace. My peace I leave with you. A wonderful thing that Jesus left behind. And so let's accept it. Let's grab it. Let's do the things necessary so that we have peace that comes from God. Father, thank you tonight, today for this time to share this word. Bless it now. And give us peace. I pray, Lord, for somebody today that is not saved. They don't have peace. And I pray today would be their day of salvation. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? If not, you don't have the peace of God in your life. Today, how many would be honest and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I need peace. I need to know my sins are forgiven. Would you raise your hand before God today and say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to have peace. I want to have peace that comes from knowing you, from being saved. If somebody needs to be saved today, don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Just raise your hand before God. He's willing to save even today if you'll come to him and call upon his name. Now, you and I that are believers today that have received forgiveness of our sins, maybe we're still holding on to some sins. Maybe, though we're ultimately forgiven, we still have sin problems in our life. Do you realize that if we don't confess our sins, if we hang on to sins, if we cover our sins, we don't have peace? How many today God spoke into your heart and you say, Pastor, pray for me. There's some things I got to get right with God. Would you raise your hand before the Lord today and say, Lord, I got to get some things right. There's some issues. There's some problems. There's some sins. There's some things I know that are between me and God today. Let's be honest. Do you want peace? You got to let go of those things. You got to confess them. You got to forsake them. You can't hold on to them. God says that if you'll confess, he'll forgive. And so just do that today. How many today, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, you know there's some people you're not right with. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know. I don't care to know. But God wants you to be right and live peaceably with all people. Is there somebody today that you need to forgive or need to seek forgiveness from? Is there some unresolved issue that's gnawing at your soul today? Would you just give it over and get it right and get that peace once again? Would you be honest today and say, Pastor, there's somebody, there's some issues I know that are not right with somebody, and pray for me. I want to try to resolve it. Pray for me. I want to try to resolve it. Would you raise your hand today and try to resolve it? Would you raise your hand before the Lord today and say, I'm going to try to resolve it? I'm talking to husbands and wives and parents and children. I'm talking about to people that have issues with other people, maybe some spirit of unforgiveness or need to seek forgiveness. And God has touched your heart. You asked him to search your heart, and he's shown you some things. How many today would be honest? You got to be right with others. And then if you're going to be right with others, with others, then also you got to realize that the devil's trying to beat you up all the time. How many would claim the victory over the devil and realize, the devil, that I am victorious through Jesus, and you're not going to bother me, you're not going to make me feel guilty, I'm under the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to praise God all the time, and you need the victory. Would you raise your hand before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to let the devil keep throwing those accusations at me. I know where I stand. I'm a child of yours. I've been blood washed, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm not going to live outside of peace because the devil's trying to talk me out of it. And then lastly, as we see this, how many would say, Pastor, I realize today that that God wants to give me peace, but I've been holding on to burdens and problems and anxiety. I got to let them go. I got to spend more time in prayer. I got to just give it to God. Don't hold on to it. Give it to God. I'm going to pray more. How many today, you've got problems right now, burdens and problems. You got to pray more. That's the answer. Would you raise your hand before the Lord and say, Lord, I just got to pray more. I got to give it to you. I got to allow you to take control and take charge. And I can do that. How many have been thinking about negative things all the time? Give that over to God and say, Lord, I'm going to start thinking positively. Thinking positively. Father, thank you for this time we've shared this message. You know, it's been rather a long morning with all the presentations and all that, but Lord, this is important things, important times. We got to get peace in our life, and so I pray for these who raise their hand as we have this invitation, Lord. I pray that they'd come and pray, find peace at this altar that comes through you. You promise us peace. May we have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? A song of invitation is about to be played, or is being played now. Let's come and pray and say, Lord, I don't want to live a life that's not peaceful. I'm tired of living with stress and worry and pain and fears. I just want to claim victory through Jesus. I just need to come today and find the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's come today, would you? And let's come before God. Find that peace that He promises. Another verse. Why don't you come and pour out your heart before the Lord and leave your burden.